season. Now perhaps the sweetest premiership of all. And strike around the body. Pierce, he loves it.
They've got the chocolates
and he might have the chicken.
All right, gather around. Look each other in the eyes. Put your game faces on and strap yourself in because it's time for the Monday Waffle podcast.
You've joined us on the Monday Waffle. I'm Samantha Girling.
And I'm Simon Orchard.
And today we'll be wrapping up round 19 of the Waffle for the 2019 season, the penultimate round. We'll be chatting to Callum Garcia from Swan Districts, as well as Michael Tassoni from East Frio. And in today's Monday Rumble, should Mad Mondays be a thing? Should they still exist?
Yes, they should. Go to Mad Monday. Let's get into it.
So today we're going to go around the grounds of the weekend's matches, as we always do on the Monday Waffle. But first of all, I think we need to note that on the weekend, all the games started with a minute's silence for Polly Farmer, who passed away earlier this week, and we too would like to pay our respects to him and his family.
Yeah, really well said, Sam. I think there's been a lot of tributes to Polly Farmer at the end of last week, but also across most of the games on the weekend. The biggest thing that I took out of hearing a lot of these fantastic and very heartfelt tributes was that he changed the game. And that's a really difficult thing to do. You know, how many people have played the game of AFL? It's like any sport. I think the greatest are the ones who reinvigorate, change, alter the style of how their game is played. And Polly Farmer, from all reports, obviously didn't watch him play, but the way he handballed and got the game moving revolutionised the sport. So what a great man.
Absolutely. And you see everyone's been talking about how he managed to handball the ball off before he even landed. And now that's something we see week to week in AFL.
And probably take for granted. So
absolutely.
Thanks to Polly Farmer and to his family as well. We pass on our condolences.
So the first match was on Friday night, where East Perth Royals went down to West Coast. Leaderville Oval was practically a lake.
Which would explain the low score, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, 1-5-4-11 Royals to Eagles. So such a low scoring game. And really wasn't a great start for the Eagles either, missing their first 5 goals before quite an impressive soccer goal from Nick Reid, which brought the score to 11-0.
And it's interesting, we talked a little bit about the final, or we're going to talk a little bit, sorry, about the finals picture emerging. West Coast now sitting in 6th position with a game against East Frio this weekend that they should win. And if they do, potentially can jump into the finals action. An outstanding performance from the Royals' Jackson Ramsey with 29 disposals. Used to be a Collingwood-listed player, if I'm correct. So, you know, good to see him coming back and playing some meaningful footy in the Waffle. Turn our attention to the next game. Perth defeated East Frio. And this is big, Sam, because Perth, you know, start of the year, I sort of thought maybe are Perth overrated a little bit? A lot of people seem to be coming out of onto the bandwagon, coming out of the woodwork. I hadn't heard about any Perth Demons fans for so long, and the fact that they might play finals for the first time in 22 years would suggest that the fans have been hiding out, waiting for some success.
That's it. As soon as there's that, you know, bit of hope, they all come out of the woodworks wanting to ride the success. And, you know, hopefully they do get into the finals. It'd be great to see that after 22 years of finals droughts.
And to their credit, they've been consistent throughout the year. This is the fans and the team. So I heard the fans crowing early on in the season, and that momentum, positive momentum and good performances have continued to the point where, yeah, I think Perth could do some damage in the finals as well.
Mm-hmm. And also this week, Jack Perham from East Frere announced his retirement from Waffle Footy at the end of the year after 10 seasons with the club.
Do you think, Sam, that we maybe take for granted people retiring a little bit? Like, it happens typically around this time of year, and you're seeing it across probably a lot of AFL footy codes around the country, but retiring is a difficult thing. You're a long time retired, so once Jack steps away from footy, I don't know if we give enough kudos to how difficult that is, that transition.
The thing is about these Waffle clubs is they're family. They spend so much time together training, playing, but also the nights off. And I think that yeah, even Jack is known for his taco nights, and you know the boys are going to miss that, and he's going to miss having them around him. But I'm sure he'll still be part of that family.
Yeah, and it's probably a little bit different to the footy machines that we see in the AFL world, where players are sort of cycled through a little bit differently. You're spot on. Waffle clubs, it's more of a family atmosphere. a lot of players in the Waffle would grow up around Waffle clubs. Their fathers or mothers were involved in the club, their grandparents, their great-grandparents, that sort of thing. So stepping away from footy, especially after being at the club for 10 seasons, congratulations to Jack on what I'm sure has been an illustrious career, and good luck for what comes next.
And also on Saturday, the Swans defeated Peel Thunder at the Steel Blue Oval. Now, this was quite an interesting game because it was quite uplifting for the Swans because it means that they might avoid the wooden spoon. But on the other hand, it was crushing for Peel Thunder as it dashed their finals hopes. I caught up with Callum Garcia from Swan Districts earlier today. Callum, thanks for joining us.
No worries, thank you.
Congratulations for the win on the weekend.
Yeah, it was a good win, thanks.
Tell us a bit about the game.
We were in against Peel this week. It was a hard-fought game and came back from behind, I think, in the last quarter to get the win by 4 points.
And the last time that you played Peel Thunder, they won 125-46. What was different this time?
I wasn't actually in the league side that time. It was my sixth game, but I think just our all-around attitude coming to the game. We were a bit down mid-season, losing a couple in a row, under 10 points, I think, I think the team's attitude just changed. We put the work in, get the result, and yeah, showed on the weekend.
And the Swans have also won a huge number of games at Bastardy in the last 22 out of 28 games they've won. What's it like to play there?
Yeah, well, there's a real big focus on making it a fortress, really. Like, clubs don't want to come there. People don't want to travel down to Bastardy, and our fans are really, I reckon, they're the best in the league, really. We always get big crowds, and it's just, we try to make it unpleasant as possible to come play there. Yeah, make it a fortress.
So, last round of the season against Claremont on Saturday, yeah. Arvo. What's the main focus going into this one?
I think if we get the win, we don't finish on the bottom, so everyone's really up and about. The energy's good in the last couple months, and I think, yeah, we just want to upset Claremont, I think, and we'll go in full blaze glory, like, hard as we can, and we'll fight to that siren.
And so this is your first season playing league. Have you played with the Swans your whole life?
Yeah, so I've been down at Swans since under 13 or 14, so basically my whole life, yeah. I've just worked my way up and eventually got there.
And are there many of the boys that you grew up playing with who are now playing league?
There's a fair few of us that have come through the 14s and still there, and there's a lot of emphasis on the young ones coming up. They're really good, yeah, so the future is really bright down there. It's been a up and down season, but take the most out of it. We've got a really young side, and next year we'll be really good. And yeah, hopefully we push into finals next year. So yeah.
And you'll be back next year?
Yeah, I'll be there.
Brilliant. All right, thanks so much, Callum. And now for the remaining games of round 19. And turning to Subi versus West Perth, Subi took out the win 122-52. It was their 10th consecutive win against the Falcons, so racking up quite a stack of wins there.
And continue to go on their merry way. I know we did a Waffle podcast earlier in the year around the mid-season draft, and Josh DeLuca had just been sent off to Carlton, the Carlton Footy Club from Subiaco, and we sort of questioned whether or not Subiaco could continue on their merry way. They've been such a dominant club the last couple of years, but it seems like still a powerhouse of the Waffle and still the team to beat in 2019. And the final game of the penultimate round of the Waffle in 2019, Sam, South Fremantle got the better of Claremont, 91-58, 14-7-8-10. Inaccurate kicking from Claremont, but I don't think that was the reason for the loss, but a pretty good result for South Freo. If we just have a quick look at the ladder, Subiaco 4 wins out in front of South Freo, Claremont sitting in third position, a couple of wins back to West Perth. Perth Demons, the footy club we spoke about earlier, just inside the five at the moment. And West Coast, the only other team who can play finals footy this year, Sam, one win outside the five.
We're joined on the line by East Freo utility Michael Tassoni. Michael, thanks for joining us.
Thanks, guys, for having me.
And Michael, you're a Bunbury boy, I've heard. Which club did you play for down there?
From Bunbury. I played my junior footy at Bunbury Footy Club, so... Yeah.
And then it was Peel and then to East Freo, is that right?
Yeah, so I started my Colts at Peel Thunder and then went through the resis in my first year in seniors, and then was lucky enough to debut late in that year. And then, obviously at the start of this year, got transferred across to East Freo.
How did you find that transition going to East Freo earlier this year?
It's been a really smooth one for me personally. The guys made me feel very welcome, so yeah, it was good.
Michael, it's a difficult process for some people changing clubs. What's the biggest adjustment you have to make? Because obviously different clubs play different styles, different structures, different coaching panels, different teammates. So what was the hardest thing for you?
I think it's just probably getting your head around the new structure and how they want to play a new brand of footy. I guess the transition for me was quite a smooth one, as the club got a new coach as I got there. So all the boys were virtually on the same page as me, all willing to try and learn the new game structure and game plan as quick as we could.
And what are the biggest differences, just quickly, between Peel and East Fremantle footy? Is there a real difference in brand?
I'd probably just say the bond at the club at the moment under Bill is really good. He's set a good platform for us all to build from working into next year. And obviously, being at Peel, there's the alignment as well, so you always have guys coming in and out of the side when you're playing in that league side. So, that's probably the biggest difference for me.
Yeah, and how's your season been so far?
It's been a good one, I think. I've played a fair bit of league footy, which I'm quite happy with. Obviously, there's that bit of inconsistency in my performance being young, and that's something I'm looking to fix going forward.
And just looking at games played on the Waffle website, mate, about 10 games for the season, didn't play the first five or six rounds. Is that due to selection? Is that injury? What's sort of been the modus operandi for you this year, in and out of the team a couple of times?
So the first three rounds I played in the resis, obviously came across quite late in the preseason. So I think that was just to get me used to how they wanted to play footy and those sorts of things that you get coming across from another club. And then obviously had the concussion just before I played Peel. So I missed out on that round as well.
A concussion? That's crazy. How are you doing now?
Yeah, I'm fine now. It was just one of those things that you get playing the game, a bit unlucky, so yeah.
We don't want to go too far down a rabbit hole here, Michael, but in terms of concussion, we've seen it, it's quite prominent in a lot of American sport at the moment, and a lot of Australian sports as well are trying to do their due diligence to ensure that the player's health and long-term health is looked after. Do you think they're doing enough in the Waffle to look after people who are suffering from concussion?
Yeah, definitely from my perspective. I missed the 3 weeks, so because I got it against Swans and then we had the bye. So by the time I played again, it was a three-week break. So, I think the way they approach it these days is a lot more cautious. And, there's always the player's welfare first.
There's been some talk in the media of actually taking a step back from contact sports in junior sports, such as footy. What would be your thoughts on saying kids can't play footy because it's too high risk for getting concussed?
I think it's just one of those things. If a kid wants to do it, it's obviously part of the game as they continue to grow up. So exposing them at a young age compared to a later age, they're going to experience it at some stage. So I guess the younger they are, obviously they've got to apply rules that make it safer for the kid. But obviously as they grow up, they're going to be exposed to it anyway.
We're talking to Michael Tassone on the Waffle podcast. Michael, tell us about the game on the weekend. Perth got the better of you, 13 points in the end. Pretty high-scoring affair. What did you make of it?
It was a good game. I think both teams had a real hard crack. Obviously, Perth were playing for finals and we were there willing to try and knock them out. But obviously, they got the better of us at the end of the day, and it was a hard-fought contest.
And next week, final round against West Coast. What's the main focus going into the next round?
I think it's just to continue to build on the footy we've been playing. We've been competitive in all matches the second half of the year. So heading into West Coast, we'll treat it no differently and give it our best crack.
It's an interesting sort of wrinkle late in the season, Michael, for teams that obviously can't play finals. There's not a lot to play for. But how much emphasis is put on spoiling the seasons of others? Because West Coast at the moment, I think, sit a win outside finals footy. Do you talk about that during the week, about spoiling the party for them?
Yeah, we don't necessarily talk about it, but it's always in the back of our mind. Obviously, we can't play finals this year, so we've got to try to get the most out of the year as we can and build momentum heading towards next season. So the amount of scalps we can take, obviously, at the end of the season, whether it's kicking teams out of finals or just winning games of footy, it's all building momentum into next season.
And Michael, last one for me before we let you go. There's some momentum building towards the end of the season for a thing called Mad Monday. Where do you sit on this? I know it's a contentious issue in the AFL world and the Waffle Club's probably fly under the radar a little bit more. Do you think there's still time and place for guys and girls to let their hair down and just enjoy what's been a pretty hard, long slog?
Yeah, I don't mind. It's a good laugh and good bit of fun, I think. Obviously, it's a long season, and when it comes to the end, obviously, I guess a lot of the boys want to celebrate, and I think they should be allowed to.
Amen.
And one last question from me, Michael. If you could poach any player from any club to play with instead of against, who would you choose?
From any club in the Waffle?
Yeah, any club in the Waffle.
Well, that's a tough one. Yeah, you've got me there.
you can give me a short list.
Yeah, honestly, I have no idea.
No idea. There's no one running around in the league that you think, gee, he'd be nice to kick it laces out to me or maybe run off or, you know, there's got to be someone, surely.
I'll go with Sokol from Subiaco. He's had a pretty handy year up forward, so we'll go with him.
Sounds good. All right, Michael, thank you so much for joining us. It's been great to have you here on the Monday Waffle.
All right, thank you very much for having me, guys. Cheers.
Let's get ready to rumble!
That's right, it's that time of the podcast, the Monday Rumble. Now, as the end of the season approaches, people are talking about Mad Mondays, and should Mad Mondays still be a thing is today's question. Now, Simon, to start off with, what is a Mad Monday?
Well, it's probably changed its form a little bit over the last couple of years, but essentially, the way I view it, Mad Monday is an opportunity for teams who have bowed out of the competition to celebrate, typically because you play footy on a weekend or a Sunday. The very next Monday, you go out to a local establishment. It could be the local club, it could be a bar or a pub. With the team, you maybe dress up and have a few beverages and just enjoy what's been a long and arduous season. So in my opinion, that's what Mad Monday is. Unfortunately, in the last couple of years, different footy codes in particular around Australia have copped a lot of flack because they tend to get a little bit out of control. As you can imagine, Sam, when not just men, but a group of people get together and have a few too many drinks.
Yeah, and I think that that's what we see quite often anyway, regardless of whether it's a sporting group or not.
Yeah, it's a good point. You could go out to any club or establishment on a Saturday night and you'd see the same sort of behaviour from numerous patrons. But I guess the difference is maybe no profile, especially, you know, the AFL, we're talking a multi-billion dollar industry. These guys and girls in the AFLW are on the screens all the time. If we talk about the Waffle, I think there's definitely a place for it. Thankfully, they probably fly under the radar a little bit, the Waffle players in Perth. But you've got to think, Sam, how many rounds? 19, 20 rounds of the season. They've been training and playing probably since January or February when most clubs start their pre-season. So it's the best part of 7, 8, 9 months. If they can't earn a couple of drinks, maybe in the privacy of a local establishment or the club rooms for their club, then I think we're being a bit hard on them. But at the same time, common sense has to prevail and you just have to sort of look after each other. Maybe that's one thing that a lot of these clubs need. Maybe a buddy system where people can say, all right, well, things are starting to get out of hand. Maybe let's pop Sam in a cab and send her off home before she gets too wild. What do you think?
Well, like we spoke about, Waffle teams are family and you mentioned it. They've been training probably since January and they often train, you know, 4 or so times a week. It's a huge effort and they really do deserve to be able to celebrate that season together. Obviously, that should be in a responsible way, which doesn't, you know, cause any problems for anyone else around them. And if they are just enjoying themselves as a team without getting in anyone's way, I just don't see a problem with that. I think it's just about keeping it in check, really.
Yeah, and I think you'll see with clubs that have a really good culture, really strong club culture, they don't tend to get in too much trouble. But for clubs maybe that are emerging, that have younger leaders, a younger group, potentially? Because you do see in the Waffle that there isn't that great varied age gap between some of the younger players and older players across all the clubs. Some clubs are very young, as I said, developing, emerging, still finding their way in a social sense, let alone on the footy field. So learning the line between what's too many drinks and what's just the right amount can be difficult for everyone, and it's something that I went through as a younger man.
I think it's something everyone goes through at some point.
Yeah, and maybe that's just the thing. And maybe clubs need to employ or just have some, you know, some minders, some older heads around, some older coaches maybe, or team managers are always great for that sort of stuff because they've been there, they've done it, they've seen the indiscretions and they can see how things can spiral out of control. The last thing you want is to for a celebration to turn into a commiseration or something, you know, seriously bad has happened because you've had too many drinks.
And I think the buddy system that you suggested is a great idea. And, you know, leadership is not just on the field, it's on and off the field. So that's when you want the leadership group to be looking after their team.
Yeah, true. Spot on. And I think, you know, the Mad Monday element of it, a lot of people go back to work in the Waffle as well. They've got jobs
absolutely.
On the outside. So maybe it's not a Mad Monday. Maybe it's a bit of a silly Saturday. But I think if you do see groups of young men or women around in the next couple of weeks around Perth celebrating what's been a long season, they might be dressed up. They might be wearing some funny clothes. I think try and embrace that group and try and have a bit of fun because they're just trying to enjoy themselves as well.
We've certainly got our silly Saturday coming up for our footy team, so I might see you out there. It's been great having you here on the Monday Waffle. We'll catch you next week.